God is doing great things, amen? He really is. You know, some of you looking at the election. Some of you might be excited about everything going your way, and others may be all depressed about things that are not going your way. You know what? Everything's going your way because Jesus is on the throne. Amen. Are you happy about that? You should be. This is exciting times because He's always on the throne. First of all, He's on the throne in heaven, but He's on the throne in your heart, right? Yeah, you can have Him on the throne in your heart if you just ask Him today.
That's right.
Because in Romans it tells you, it says, if anybody will, you just call upon the name of the Lord. And if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved.
That's right.
Well, did you? I said, did you? Somebody say, yes.
Yes.
Say, you can talk. This is interactive. You know, it's like a Zoom call, except in person. You know, we say, yes, hallelujah. It's so exciting. You know, we've been looking through the book of Ephesians, and I find that God somehow or another is able to actually tie whatever we're teaching, even if it's in kind of just a regular rote message, maybe just on our schedule, He can manage to tie it to exactly what we're going through today, right? He's a funny God. You know, it's like you open your Bible and it applies immediately. It applies to what's happening today. And so that's really powerful because you can always know that when you flop that Bible open, it's got a message for you that'll apply to you and that'll strengthen you and that'll build you up. Amen? That is powerful. That is powerful. It's so good. It's so good. Well, somebody just say, Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Amen. You're so good, you know. I mean, they're broadcasting this thing, so we don't have a microphone running around. So everybody who's on with us today, we're glad you're here and glad you're with us and glad you're going to be participating in the ministry of the Word today. And Father, we just pray and thank You that the Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder between soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. In other words, the Word of God comes in and does surgery every time we read it. It does surgery. It does not come back void, but it accomplishes that for which You have sent it. So today, Lord, as we open the Word to Ephesians chapter 4, we thank You that Your Word is making a difference and transforming us and changing us, reminding us who we are. So we just love You, Lord God. We thank You. Let's lift our hands and thank You. Father, we just worship You. Father, we love You. We give You praise. We know that we are the beloved of God. We know that we qualify because we've sinned, and we qualify for salvation because if you confess your sin, you shall be saved. And call upon the name of the Lord Jesus. So, Father, we delight in it and give You praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. All right, well, good. Now, we've been going through the book of Ephesians, and we've been looking at what the Word of God does on the inside of us. And the powerful thing about when Paul is preaching through most of his epistles is that he will begin by talking about who you are in Christ Jesus. He'll begin, the first two, three chapters of any letter. These are letters. And so if you get a letter and somebody, first of all, they just start building you up. Isn't that an encouraging letter? When somebody started, instead of complaining about how you messed up and how you didn't do right, you know, like a letter from a lawyer, perhaps, or something. You know, dear sir, dear madam, we want to inform you that you're being sued, or that so-and-so is coming to get you, or they're coming to take you down to the hoosgow. That's the jail. Down to the big house. You know, they're coming to come and get you. So all of these letters, you know, we may get from other people. But the letter from God is always encouraging. A letter from God is always an encouragement to you. So don't be afraid of the Bible. I said don't be afraid of the Bible.
That's right.
It's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. And the Word of God is always for you. Say, the Word of God is for me. All the time. There's never a time that the Word of God is against me. It's not. It's always for you. You know, He wrote it so that you would have it. In fact, in America, and of course now all over the world, but we had Bible societies, and we just started printing Bibles and sending them all over America and sending Bibles all over the world. Why? Because God did that. Do you know that? God did that. God had people print Bibles. God invented the printing press. How many know God invented the internet? A lot of you thought it was Al Gore. And a lot of you knew I was going to say that because that's what everybody says. No, God invented the internet. God invented television. God invented radio. God invented your voice. Amen? He commanded you to speak. He created your voice. He created your legs, long as they are. You know, some longer legs than others. You know? I know that a guy would be called to be a missionary to a foreign country because his legs are longer and he can go further faster. You know, me, I'm a local. You know, I can't get very far. So, but God has you, and He's got you positioned and set in place for everything. Amen. He does. Eli, He's got you set. Everything's ready just perfectly for what He's called you to do. Amen. You know, Abby, Anna, even Dave, you know, as old as he is now. You know, God has already called you. He's made room for you, and He's plugged you in, and He's set in you in place because His Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you. The Holy Spirit lives on the inside of my friend Carol, who we haven't seen in years and years, and her daughter Abby. And, Lord, we're just blessed and glad that they're here today. And, Father, we thank You for just touching and putting everybody in place the way that You want them. And everybody in place that You've given Leah tons of kids and tons of grandkids. And she's supposed to raise them and use to help get Danny to help and make some money and feed them all. Father, we just thank You for that. We thank You that You're just doing all of these things. You're bringing that Wilson bunch in here and You're blessing them and showing how much we love them. And it's just an amazing thing. Amen? How God is just working on the inside of us. Are you excited yet?
Yes.
I said, I'm excited. Hallelujah. You know, we can get back to this Bible. And over here, and God's healing my eyes, praise the Lord. I had a surgery on my eyes this week, and they're supposed to fix them and make them better. Well, they're not better yet. But they're coming along. So, but in Ephesians chapter 4, I've got everything lined up except that one. Amen. Praise the Lord. Paul says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. So, he's the prisoner of the Lord. First of all, he's the prisoner of the Lord, and now he's talking to you. He really didn't dwell very much on the fact that he's the prisoner. He's actually a prisoner in a jail somewhere. So he's in a jail somewhere for the ministry of the gospel, for preaching the gospel. They didn't like him, so they put him in jail. Whether it was the Jews that stirred up trouble and said, "Oh, this guy's a troublemaker, and we ought to put him in jail." So the thing about a jail ministry is you got a lot of time, and you can write a lot. Somehow or another, he got letters out. You know, I don't know, in some places they might not let you get letters out. But Paul, he could send letters out. So he sent letters out. He was, you know, you can minister anywhere from any situation. Well, I don't have a ministry. I'm in jail. No, if you're in jail, you have a jail ministry, not just in the jail. But Paul had a jail ministry out to the world, didn't he? So you have a ministry from wherever you are, whatever job you're doing. Whatever thing you're doing or not doing, whatever thing that you feel like you have been hindered in some kind of a way, you know, you're never hindered. I'm never hindered. I am never hindered. Say it. I'm never hindered.
I am never hindered.
Amen. That's so good. You know, if you tell yourself that, you start believing what God said. Is you're never hindered because you can because you're always full of God's word. You're always full of the word of God. You are always full of the word of God. And that Word of God is always coming out and is always transforming your locality. Amen? Just because you show up. You know, you are the light of the world. So wherever you are, you're shining. Amen? Don't hide it under a bushel. You know? You are the salt of the earth. You know, when you show up, man, something different here. You can tell there's a difference. You put salt on something, you can tell there's a difference. It kind of makes it a little zestier. It makes things a little, makes them a little more, noticeable, doesn't it? Amen? So things are noticeable. You know, when you show up, I want you to believe this, when you show up, it's noticed. Well, nobody ever notices me. No, it's not true. When you show up, you're noticed. Why? Because you're worshiping God. Your light is being generated because of what you do in secret. Your light is being generated by what you do in the presence of God, not what you do outwardly. God will just, he'll give you an impact. The fervent, effectual what? Prayer. Well, where do you do prayer? In a closet? Yeah. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person availeth a lot. A whole lot. Amen. So that prayer that you're praying, it avails much. Well, it doesn't seem like it is. No, it doesn't matter what it seems like. It doesn't matter what it seems like. The fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Righteous woman, righteous child, person, availeth a lot. It has an effect. It changes the environment. It changes those things because you're praying the will of God. You're praying the Word of God. You're praying the will of God. Amen? If we pray anything according to His will, He hears us. And we have the petitions that we've desired of Him. So He says, I, Paul, therefore the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you. I'm coming to you. I'm talking to you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Now, I'm going to go over to Romans chapter 8, verse 1. But I'm going to, first of all, I preface it and say, you were unworthy. And then Jesus Christ, by His blood, made you worthy, didn't He? And what does He command you to do? What does Paul here command you to do? I beseech you. I'm crying out to you. I am begging you. Walk worthy of the vocation. Well, how do you walk worthy? How do you walk worthy? Do you walk worthy by being worthy? By doing something to be worthy? By working your hardest to be worthy? Looking worthy? Worthy it up. Come on. Worthy it up. You know, everything is... You can't do it. Danny was saying it today. You can't do anything. What's your best talent in this body? Sin. Your best talent in this body is, in this mind, this old mind, is sin. That's the best you can contribute. How much did Abraham contribute? You know, you've heard Pastor Jim teach it, and it's in the Bible, and it's true. He says, how much did Abraham contribute to the covenant? He snoozed through the whole thing, didn't he? I mean, God did good. He said, okay, chop up all these animals. Okay, do. The guy is just, I mean, he's already 75 years old, you know. He's not as old as Pastor Jim, but he's of course, I can't see Pastor Jim chopping up a bunch of cows, and I just can't see that. And you know, some of us have some talents and some of us have others. Some of us can cut up cows and, you know, and that kind of thing. And have goats in the backyard, milk them, you know. Some of us have all kinds of talents. But he offered nothing to the covenant. And that's how much you offer to your worthiness. Nothing. You offer absolutely nothing. He says, it's by faith alone. And who gives the faith? Who gives the faith? God does. So, you don't give nothing. You participate in no way. You say, thank you. That's what you say. You say, thank you. Father, thank you. Thank you that you love me. So he tells you here to, I beseech you that you walk worthy of the calling that wherewith you are called. What is that? It's to believe. It's to believe that what he said is true. To believe that when it looks awful, like maybe an election, you say, everything's going my way because I've got a big God. And we'll look at something here in a minute that I thought was a lot of fun. You just wait. It'll be fun. All right? Because everything is going my way. You know, because I'm, no matter what it appears, whether my car broke down, whether I lost my job, whether things, whether my family became a mess, everything is going my way. Are you lying? No. When Danny says, when he mentioned this morning, say, sure, all of this stuff is happening. Paul said it. He said, there's I was thrown in jail. I was thrown in the fire. I was thrown on the floor. Everything was happening to me. But none of these things moves me. None of these things moves me. Nothing. Nothing moves me except the Word and the promise of God. That's the only thing that moves me. And so I'm excited about that. I want to keep telling somebody else about it. You know, if you have a neighbor, you just encourage them. You know, because they'll always come and tell you what's going wrong, right? I mean, your neighbors and your friends and your coworkers, you've got all kinds of people that you can actually listen to their bad stories. But you can always have a good word of encouragement for them that everything is going your way. You don't look at them, everything's going my way. Sorry about you. No, everything's going my way. And because I've got a big God, I'm going to tell you about him. And I'm going to pray for you. And I'm going to pray that God would do for you what he's done for me. What's the first thing that he did? He encouraged me. He encouraged me. He built me up. He showed me how much he loved me. All of the troubles may take a little time, may take a little bit of time to get worked out. And you know what's good about that is he's working in you that which is well pleasing in his sight. Amen? Amen. So let's look over here. I mentioned Romans chapter 8, verse 1. And he said, coming off of the first verse of Ephesians 4, 1, he said, I beseech you to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you have been called. Now, let's look at Romans 8. He says, there is therefore now, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, interesting. There's no condemnation to those of us who are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And it's going to go on to say that if we live after the flesh, you'll die. But after the Spirit, you'll live. So to walk after the flesh is to have confidence in the flesh. There's no therefore now no condemnation to those of us who are in Christ Jesus. Okay, you're in Christ Jesus. You're in Christ Jesus. You're in Christ Jesus. You are. You just are. I believed it. I've confessed him. I've said, Jesus, you're my Lord. You're my Savior. But then all of a sudden you find yourself walking after the flesh. Walking with hope in the flesh or confidence in the flesh. You know, that'll knock you down. That'll discourage you. You start looking at the flesh as if that is going to give you some kind of encouragement that things are going your way. No, we walk according to the Spirit. We walk according to the Spirit. What's that? That's the promise. We walk according to the promise, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Hallelujah. Amen. We walk by faith, not by sight. So when things are looking bad, we don't make a judgment or an assessment. We look at the Word of God, and then we make our judgment and assessment based on His promise. Amen? Yoo-hoo! Amen. Hallelujah. That's why I'm never discouraged. You know, we've had two little granddaughters who are in wheelchairs, you know. And, you could look at that and say, well, they're not walking, they're not getting up, they're not getting out of those things, you know. And then you could look at your watch and look at your month, and then you look at your year, and then you look at your calendar. And how many of you have ever looked at a calendar to see how things are going? To judge the promise of God, you've looked at a calendar and looked at your watch, you know, and you become disappointed because you're looking at your time frame and your calendar. It's not happening. That's not the way it happens. God is always working on your behalf. You look at this election thing. You know, looks like everything's going downhill. God must have fallen off the throne. God must have fallen off the throne, you know. No, he didn't fall off the throne. He's fine. He's fine. Everything is going your way. Everything's going my way. The United States is fine. It's fine. Not because it's the United States. It's fine because God is on the throne of the United States of America. Amen? Why? Because we're his people. Amen? We're his people. Now, are there wicked people, even us? have we failed and done things that are stupid, wrong, and without help? Yes. But it's okay because we're repenting. We're daily repenting and turning and saying, God, thank you that you love me. Thank you that you love your people. Thank you that you founded this nation to declare the gospel to the entire world. Amen. Now, so look back over here at Romans chapter 1, where he says that we are walking not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's what it is to walk worthy. To walk worthy is to walk in faith, not by sight. Amen. Yes, I beseech you to walk. Don't walk according to looking at how the world is coming apart or looking as if it's not going your way. Get back to the Word. Get back to the promise. All right? Praise the Lord. So back over in here in Ephesians chapter 4. All right. And here's what it looks like. Walking worthy of the vocation, of the calling wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Forbearing one another. Wow, that sounds like putting up with somebody, doesn't it? Amen. Especially when you live with them. My goodness, you just forbear them. Forbear, forbear. How long do, you know, it's like when Jesus said to his disciples, yeah, 70 times, you forgive them 70 times 7. Oh, dear Lord. I don't know if I can do that. Well, you can't. Just say, I can't. Amen? Just say, I can't. You know what's good? Is you can't. There's none of these things that it appears like it's telling you in this letter that you can do. Because you're not walking. But that if it was you, you'd be walking according to the flesh. You'd be trying to work it up. You'd be trying to work it up to look good to God. God, how is it okay? How am I doing? Am I doing okay today? Am I making it okay? No, you're not. You're not doing okay at all. Because you're not trusting me with it. You're trying to do it. You're trying to make it happen yourself. Just come before me. Ask me what to do. Ask me how to share with that person. Amen? So that's what you're doing. That's what you're doing. This is encouragement. So he says that you walk worthy with the vocation wherewith you're called. Now, Ephesians 4:2 here. With all lowliness and meekness. That means meekness is under authority. It doesn't mean what you think it means. It doesn't mean quiet and sweet. Meekness just means you're under authority. Moses was the meekest man on the face of the earth because he appeared in some corners to be weak or quiet. But no, you're quiet because you're under authority. You're always listening to the Holy Spirit. Okay? You're always listening to the Holy Spirit. God wants you to listen to Him. He wants you to listen to Him. He doesn't want you to be big, huge. He wants to be big and huge. Amen? All right. So, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Forbearing one another in love. In other words, forbearing means don't kick them out just because they're irritating you. Amen? But you're forbearing one another in love. You're still hanging close. A lot of times we want to get rid of people who are kind of irritating or kind of not agreeing and not following along, not getting to where we like them to be, so we kind of distance ourselves from that person. He says, forbearing one another in love. So hang close because you are encouraging them and you're building them up. You are forbearing them in love. How many know that Jesus had a lot of forbearance with his disciples? Amen. Can you imagine? I mean, they're always asking all kinds of crazy questions. And they're asking all these questions, and Jesus is like, oh my gosh, oy vey, you know, what, you know, how long will I be with you? Remember when he said that? Said Jesus just, you know, he says that, but his love for them was so deep. And God's love for you is so deep. And the fact is your love for those who don't know him, you have that same depth of love. Well, I don't seem to. I seem to just hate those people. I seem to just, those people irritate me, and I'm praying that God would just kind of take them out of my life. And well, that's okay. I mean, you haven't quite matured yet. You're coming along, but God is actually working in you to bring you to a place to minister. See, if you're a disciple of Jesus, He disciples you to be like who? Him. He disciples you to be like Him. He's transforming you to be like Him. He's, when you are in the presence of God, when you're studying His Word actually makes transformation on the inside of you. The Bible talks about it in Mark chapter 4 that the Word of God is seed. It's seed and it produces after its own kind. The Word of God produces after its own kind. Genesis talks about everything in the earth has a seed in itself. Have you heard that? It says everything whose seed is in itself. And it's like people. We actually reproduce after our own kind. Apples produce after their own kind. Bananas produce after their own kind. Kale. Y'all like kale, don't you? It produces after its own kind. It's wonderful. Yeah, Danny eats lots of it. That's right. Yeah. And what do we have, honey? What do we have for dinner? More kale. That's right. Its seed is in itself. So the Word of God is seed. And when you put the Word of God on the inside of you, it produces more of itself. It produces the love of God. It produces the wisdom of God. That Word of God on the inside of you is not just you studying it and you reading it so you can do it better. Waiting for the other foot to drop. The Word of God is on the inside of you, reproducing itself. And you know the secret? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. When Jesus came back from, rose from the dead, the very night He rose from the dead, He came into the upper room, came into the room where they were locked up together because they were afraid of all the Jews. And He came into that room and He breathed on them and said, He breathed on them and He said, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." How many believe that they did? Amen. You want to make it multiple choice? How many believe it? They waited till midnight. How many people want to believe it? Waited 50 days till the baptism in the Holy Spirit? No. He actively breathed on them. You know what the word spirit is in the Greek? Breathe. It's that. He breathed on them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." And I believe they did. I believe at that moment they received the Holy Ghost. And then He began to teach them for 40 days. Jesus was on the earth after He rose from the dead for 40 days. And He began to teach them about the kingdom of God. And I believe they had revelation after revelation after revelation that they never could understand before. Now, if you look back, you remember at the Last Supper, Jesus began to talk about the Comforter. He began to talk about that I'm going to go away, I'm going to send you another comforter. And of course, they're holding their heads in their hands going, "Oh my gosh, what's going to happen now? Jesus is going to go away. He's going to send us some ghost. He's going to send some comforter. We don't even know who this comforter is. Is it a person? Is it somebody we don't know? I mean, we've been with Jesus for 3.5 years. I don't know if I want another comforter. I've got one. I like the one I got." Yeah, maybe He could just stay around. Because we thought He was going to be king anyway. And where does He think He's going to go? So, He's doing all of that. He says He's going to send a comforter. He said, when He has come, He is going to take of mine and show it to you. He said, there are many things I want to share with you, but you cannot bear them now. But when the comforter is come, He will lead you into all truth. So, that's what He began to do. So, the Holy Spirit leads you into all truth. When you're reading the Word of God, He is actually changing you from the inside out. That's why you don't do the work. You don't perform. Now you're born again. Get busy. You're born again. Come on and get with the program. And You do the law now. No. It's not you do it, it's He does it. Because He's on the inside of you to do it, to will and to do. And it says in Philippians, He's in the word, He's in you to both will. He changes your willer. Well, I don't want to. Well, don't be afraid of that. It's okay. He'll change your willer. He'll change your willer. And he'll also change your doer. He changes your willer and your doer. So you now you want to, and then you just find yourself, you look behind yourself, you've been doing. You've been doing the will of God. This is good news. This is good because it takes it all out of your hands. It takes it all out of your hands. So powerful. But you've got to believe God is a real God. That He is God. And you're not God. And you're not helping Him somehow. Amen. You're not helping Him. So He's saying, walk worthy of the vocation that you've been called. And He said, that. And how do you do that? Back over in Romans 8:1, He says, walk according to the Spirit, with confidence in the Spirit, and no confidence in the flesh. Another place in the Scripture says, we have no confidence in the flesh. We are not of the circumcision, that is, those who have confidence. The circumcision is talking about the Jews who had the law, and we are not like those who have confidence in the flesh. The whole point of the law was to show there can be no confidence in the flesh. Even if you know better, you still mess up. Amen? Yeah, yes, I do. Yes, I do. Yeah, just be agreeable. God's not mad at that. God actually likes it when you agree with Him. It's kind of like we can move forward now. Now that you agree, we can move forward. All right? Now, so what does it look like? Again, verse 2 says, with all lowliness and meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. These are all the things that God is performing. God is performing all of these things in you. So I am lowly and meek. I am long-suffering. I forbear my neighbor. I put up with anything. And they put up with me. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So God, thank you that I'm walking at peace. Another place in the Scripture says, as much as in you is, live at peace with all men. That could happen with politicking, can't it? Amen? That could happen with politicking. You know, God puts you in a place where you have an effect. You can have an actual effect in this world for righteousness to support somebody over another person for an elective office that says, I believe we ought to pray more. I believe we ought to have times for God to be in charge of this country. I believe that somebody who is going to make room for the living God in the nation. That's the person you want in office. Rather than somebody says, hey, I think we ought to just do whatever we want. And I think we ought to get God out because God is slowing us down. And we ought to go ahead and be able to have a lot of abortions and do that and do whatever you want to because they just slow people down and all those babies. You know, we ought to just be able to kind of put that out and get rid of all that. Well, you know, there's a distinction between that person and the person that you want to elect to your office. And we can do that in this country. Maybe in some other country, you can't elect people. You can't elect people like that. They just elect themselves. Here, we get to do that. God's given us that opportunity. So, but after the election, you don't get to punch your neighbor because they voted different than you. Amen. You get to love them. You get to bless them. You get to encourage them. You get to bring them to Jesus. Amen. Because endeavoring to live in the unity of the Spirit, the bond of peace. That's you. That's who you are. See, because we don't live, it's going to talk about this here in a minute. We'll just keep reading here, so because otherwise I'll just slow down. Verse 4, Ephesians 4:4, there is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called, in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. In the Scripture, as believers, these are the things that we agree on. We are one in these things. There's a lot of things we may not be one on, but these are the things that we agree on, and these are the things that we go about to preach to the world. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Sounds like he's from Texas. But to every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of God. Okay, now, he's coming from you all, us all, in us all, to you, individually, in person, right? Because at the very first verse, he says, I beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation that you're called in. Verse 7, but to every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Now, you can look over in Romans chapter 12. It talks about gifts. You go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It talks about gifts. The last part of the chapter, which we may look at in a moment, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it talks about gifts and the body with individual gifts. So we'll take a look at that. But this is all part of walking according to your calling. Walking according to your calling. Hallelujah. So to every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Okay, grace. Grace is power and mercy. Grace is power and mercy. His power and His mercy working in and through you. To every one of us, say that's me. That's me. All right? To every one of you is given grace according for the gift of God that's on the inside of you. So in other words, everybody has the power of God working on the inside of them. If you're a believer in Christ Jesus, you said, Father, I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I confess that I'm a wicked sinner and I have need of a Savior. And the Savior who shed His blood for me and paid the price for all eternity, past, present, and future, is Jesus Christ. And I receive Him today. He is my Lord, my Savior. Father, thank You that You come and live on the inside of me by the Holy Spirit. Okay? So now that person who has done that, maybe you did that just now. Maybe you did that just now. You can just do that just exactly what I said, just right now, and receive Jesus and receive the living God and the Holy Spirit and the power of God into you. This grace that I'm talking about, the grace that the Scripture is talking about, has now come on the inside of you right now. Take a deep breath. You didn't have to do that, but feels like it'd be a good thing to do. Just receive that right now. So to every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Now, what does that mean? Every one of us is given a grace. Not you don't have more or less of a gift of God. It's the gift of God that belongs to you. That God's called you with, that God's called you for. You have gifts and talents and motivations and things that you like doing, things that you prefer, things that motivate you and get you going, that God uses in your daily walk. He uses it in your vocation, in your work. He also uses it in the way you relate to other people, the way you relate with your kids, the way you relate with coworkers. With your family, with your church body. So he says, so every one of those, you don't. It's not that you're getting more or less than somebody else. You get exactly what you need for the job God called you to do. All right? To every one of us. So it's not one size fits all. It's that God is working in you in particular. So it's not like one big group thing. Okay? It's not like a big group thing. It's you. Okay, it's Guy, it's Carol, it's Walter, Oboe. Everybody, you have individually, personally, a God who loves you. His name is the God of heaven. He, your Savior is Jesus. And the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you comes, and he's like a tailor. He's just building something that fits you exactly. Exactly. It's not, David trying to wear Saul's armor. clang, clang, clang. It's just, you know, I mean, you know, I understand that. You know, David's, you know, about my size, and Saul's 6'8" or something, you know. And he's just clanging around. Here, let's put this my armor on this kid, and let's see if that discourages him. That would discourage me, all right? That would discourage me. But no, God knows exactly what fits me. He knows exactly what fits you, and he's actually making that happen, all right? But to every one of us is given that grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Verse 8, wherefore he says, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now, that's a quote from Psalm 68. That's Psalm 68:18. Now, I found it very interesting because I came across that, and I knew it was somewhere in the Old Testament, that particular quote. But it's also interesting, is anybody recently heard Pastor Jim teaching on, when he'll teach, he'll go along and talk about Psalms 68:19. And what does that say? Blessed be the Lord, who daily loads us with benefits. That's the very next scripture. I found that interesting. All right. So he said, now here's the actual quote. It says, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men, yea, for the rebellious also. This is the rest of that verse. A lot of times in teaching, in rabbinic teaching, they would begin a scripture, but they wouldn't give the whole thing. They would begin, they give the, like the first line, and just so that everybody knew it. You know, you were already well trained. You were in the synagogue. You kind of were raised up, and they would just kind of reference it because they didn't have Psalm 68 verse 18. They would just rattle off the first few words of the passage, and you would know which one it was. Well, that's what he does here, because you'll see that in the New Testament, where Paul or Peter will begin what is, you later find out is a quote from the Old Testament, and you're going, well, he didn't quote scripture and verse. Well, they didn't have scripture and verse back then. That's not how they did it. But he says here, so that same verse, verse 8 of what we're reading is Psalm 68:18. When he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive. Well, that's a good thing to live. If captivity is an enemy and he's going to come capture you, well, you want captivity to get captured so it can't capture you anymore, right? So he led captivity captive, and then he gave gifts unto men. He took away your enemy so that he could bless you. He took away the means of the enemy to stop you or to take away your blessing, and then he gave you the blessing. So he says, he gave gifts unto men, but here's the rest of the verse that he didn't quote. Yea, for the rebellious also. Well, I qualify. So he's qualified, and he's qualifying. Who he's qualifying is the Gentiles. He's qualifying the Gentiles. Not only God's people, the Jews, because David's talking about his own people, but then he also is including the rebellious. He's including the Gentiles, those who don't know God. Just like he promised to Abraham, he was going to make him the father of many nations. Just like he said to Simeon, when Jesus was as a baby brought into the temple, and he lifted him up and said, behold, mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. That's another quote. I didn't pull it out, but that's another quote. We are a light to give light to the Gentiles, not just to the Jews. Because that's how Abraham became the father of many nations, is through the promise. Is through the promise and through Jesus Christ and through the people of Israel. Israel was not supposed to be, hey, we got God, you don't, nah. You know, we got God. He didn't like you. No. They were, in fact, supposed to be a light to the whole world. Said, there's a God who loves you. And right here, this scripture here says, He gave gifts unto men, yea, the rebellious also, that the Lord might dwell among them. Psalm 68:18. You can write that down, go see it. Go visit that one later. See it in your local theater. And verse 19 follows, says, blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, even the Lord God of our salvation. Selah. Think about that. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. All right? That's what that means. All right. Praise the Lord. So, now, back over in Ephesians chapter 4. So, he's... Verse 8, he ascended up on high, led captivity captive, gave gifts unto men. And now here's a parenthetical phrase that Paul adds here to the story. He says, now, he that ascended, the guy we just talked about, what is it that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? Now, that could be the fact that he started out in heaven and he came to earth to live and die for you. Or it could be also referring to the fact that he actually went, you know, into Hades and defeated the devil. So we're not quite sure how encompassing that phrase is. But certainly he came to earth and bore your sin and bled for you and died for you. But then he went and also defeated the devil. How many know the devil was defeated when Jesus died? How many know Jesus said, it's finished? Before he ever... If he went downstairs to get the keys, he wasn't suffering in hell. He was just... He went down there to pick up the keys and the deposit. He went down there to pick up the keys and the deposit and said, thank you very much. And then verse 10 says, he that descended is also he that ascended. So he's identifying the person that Psalm 68 was talking about as Jesus. That's the same one who came down here and then the same one who ascended up into heaven, that he might fill all things. Okay, now here's the gifts. Verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Now, so he gave all these. These are gifts. Believe it or not, your pastor's a gift. Well, I thought apostles were gifts. You know, they're kind of cool, kind of hip guys. Pastors, not so much. Yeah, well, but you know, how many know we're just all sinner people? God just chose us and you know, brought us into His kingdom, and we were as big a mess as anybody else. And any of you can fill any of those roles. Amen. Huh? Huh? Amen. Praise the Lord. So he gave gifts unto men, but the gifts he gave are y'all and us. So the gift is not the person. The gift is the office. Okay? Because you may not like some of his gifts. But he gave the office. And what's the offices for? These are all for the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry. For the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry. For the edification, that's one thing. Perfecting the saints to do the work of the ministry. I mean, to have a pastor who has to perfect saints and do the work of the ministry, you don't have enough arms and legs to do that. So, you're perfecting the saints. Your job as pastor or apostle, evangelist, prophet, teacher, is to perfect the saints for the work of the ministry. Comma. For the edifying of the body of Christ. And here's the goal, till we all come in. Here's the promise. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. How many know that happens from the inside out? Huh? If you look up here, we have these seven chairs that we use for talking about Christian discipleship. And it starts as you being a sinner. Some people take a detour and become a hypocrite, and that's where they kind of wind up for the rest of their life. That's sad. We don't want to do that. So we want to let you know you start out as a sinner. You don't start out as a good person. Amen. And you don't get to be good by behaving yourself. That's another hypocrite. But what you do is you go from sinner to repent. I'm a wicked sinner. Just I am. And then by faith, you're born again. Discipleship is the one people like to avoid. That's the one that says, okay, now we're gonna get to it. We're gonna get rid of all your sins. Whoa, wait, what? I didn't count on that. I didn't count on that one. I thought I was just gonna get saved and go to heaven. Isn't that it? Can I get off? If you want to get off here, you can go back to hypocrite. That's fine. But you'll never be happy. How many know people who meet Jesus and then go off into trying to do it themselves are unhappy? They're unhappy. They're just totally unhappy because they think they're supposed to be doing something, but they find out they can't do it. It's not in you, in your person, in your body, in your strength to do. It's only by knowing Him. Remember when I talked about the Word of God? It's only about knowing Him and having the Word of God on the inside of you. The Word of God changes you. Faith cometh by hearing, Romans 10:17 says, and hearing by the Word of God. So it comes and it dwells on the inside of you and you're transformed and changed from line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. Isaiah talks about it. He says, for the word of the Lord was unto me, word, line upon line. That means slow. Precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little. That's what the word of God is to you. It's slower than you want it to be. But discipleship is about getting rid of you and exalting Jesus. But it also takes the pressure off. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? It takes the pressure off of you to do good for God. He'll do good for Himself. He'll do it Himself. And that's where we miss it. It's where the Jews missed it. It's where the Catholic Church missed it. Luther picked up on it. Because Luther was one of those angst guys, you know. Are some of you those people? Some of the people are angst people. You know, that they if they can't do it right, they're just not going to do it. Or if they can't do it right, it just messes with their head. And it just turns them inside out. That's why they're on anti-anxiety medicine. That's why they're on antidepressants. You know, it's because they just, whatever it is they're supposed to be doing, forget whether it's of God or not. It could be just something just you're supposed to do to make people happy in the world and make people like you. And you can't get it done. And you just all bent out of shape. Personally. Amen? Anybody? Don't raise your hand. Because that's everybody. Isn't it? It's everybody. That's why God said, you know, I think these folks need some help. These folks need somebody who's just going to love them and accept them exactly the way they are. He said, I love you the way you are. For God so loved the Christians. For God so loved the Jews. No, that's not it. For God so loved the good people. No. For God so loved the whole world that gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. All right. Now, let's see here how far, much further we can get. Okay, verse 14 says that we hereafter should be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So these gifts are given, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, till you come in the unity of faith, knowledge of the Son of God, the fullness of the stature of Christ. And the result, or the evidence, is that we're no more children, tossed back and forth, carried about by every wind of doctrine. There's a lot of doctrine. Amen? There's a lot of things people teach. A lot of things people teach about how you should do things to make God like you. Jesus did the one thing that is going to make God like you. He died. And He made an offer to you that He wants to give you life eternal. Amen? He wants to give you life eternal. And that's the only thing. There's all kinds of doctrines you can come up with. It's like, for instance, here in this letter. I could read the end of this letter and make it sound like, okay, now that you know everything Jesus did for you, here's what you need to do for Him. Boy, put the pressure on you now, baby. Okay. Now we put up the little chart in the Sunday school. We start with little kids, right, Danny? Yeah, in Catholic Church, they start them in the little kids. You know, you teach them what they need to do to make God happy and keep Him happy. Because we're all about making each other and God happy. But it's not built into your DNA to do it. It's absolutely impossible. Sin has already destroyed any ability for you to please God. There's only one thing that pleases God, is faith in His promise. And then He comes on the inside of you and He performs and He does the rest. He plants the seed and the seed brings forth fruit. If you'll go over and read in Galatians chapter 5, we won't go there, but he says, what's the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, meekness, faithfulness, temperance. I'm probably missing one or two. That's maybe because I'm missing one or two. All right? But he said, that's the fruit of the Spirit. It's not the fruit of you. You know, the fruit of the Spirit is not the fruit of you. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Now, he says, at one time you used to have these other fruities. Maybe they're vegetables because they don't taste as good. Maybe they taste better. Is lasciviousness and wickedness, and there's about twice as many of those as there is the fruit, right? You were used to be some of these, but now, here's what you are in Christ Jesus. Okay? Now, listen, I don't want you to do anything to please God except believe Him. Okay? Just believe Him. That sounds like almost like heresy, doesn't it? Sounds like heresy. Sounds like, oh, no, because you know that if you didn't work hard, you would do bad. That's what you know. But what you really need to know is that once you've received Him, and once you're spending time in the presence of God, reading His Word, letting His Word become rich, dwell richly in you, you are actually, He is a God. He's really God. And He actually will do amazing things, like deliver you from sin, sickness, disease, addiction. He'll deliver you. And He will work in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight. It will cause you to be a wise person. Cause you to be a loving person. You'll love people that you never thought you could love. You'll have patience with people with whom you never thought you could have patience. How many thought, like I said before, Jesus, oh my goodness, didn't He have a lot of patience? Yes, He did, because He had the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience. You can kind of enumerate them off Jesus, right? You can just kind of count them up. So He's doing a great job. He's doing a great job. Pastors, we just do what He tells us to do, and hopefully we do it what He tells us to do. Jeff, David, Danny, you know. Because we just have to learn how to love you. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. There's a lot more on this chapter, but I just can't get there. Last verse. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. That's this here. So you're growing up. So you're growing up. You, like I said about the five, these seven chairs here, you're in chair five. You're growing up. That's, you know what suffering is? Suffering is letting Jesus take all your wanter, change your wanter. That's what suffering is. Suffering is not poverty. Suffering is not sickness, even though it, you suffer when you do, but that's not the suffering that comes from God to grow you. That's just part of this world. You know, there's poverty in the world. There's sickness in the world. There's car wrecks in the world. You know, there's rainstorms. There's tornadoes and all kinds of things. But the suffering he's talking about is how you deal with those problems. You deal with the problems by rejoicing. That would be suffering, wouldn't it? So how many of you, just don't raise your hand, but how many of you, it'd be suffering to you to rejoice and to sing in the middle of a problem. I mean, like a dire problem, a bad one. But for you, that would be suffering. That would be, yeah, I mean, somebody ought to just hurt you, slap you, or do something to you as you try to say, I'm going to rejoice in the Lord my God because I know that He has blessed me and He's taken care of all things, and no matter what happens, I'm going to be fine. Some of you, that just rattles your cage. That makes you angry to even think of that, right? It just makes you angry to even think. I mean, that would, to you, that would be a lie to say that, that everything's going your way. But no, God made a promise. He said He daily, remember that one scripture we talked in 68, or Psalm 68, 19? He said He daily loads you with blessings. Did He lie? No. That's His promise. He's doing it. And I believe it, and I'm going to agree with it. And I encourage you to believe it too. I encourage you to believe it and agree with it. Because God is God of the entire universe. If He could save you by the blood of Jesus, He can do everything else. Romans 8:32 says, He that spared not His own Son, but offered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Amen. Praise the Lord. So speaking the truth in love. Speaking the truth in love. Speaking the truth. What's the truth? God's Word, His seed, the seed. Speaking the truth in love may grow up into all things, which is the head, even Christ. Jesus Christ is the head of His church. Amen. Well, we'll finish this the next time we get around to it. Hallelujah. We made it about halfway through. Father, we just love You. We praise You. Thank You for all Your goodness. Thank You for the peace of God which passes all understanding. Father, we just love You and give You praise. Thank You for the goodness of God. Thank You for the finished work of Jesus on the inside of us. It's happening line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. We give You praise. We give You glory. We love You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank You, Father. Father, I just pray that anybody who needs to know the Lord Jesus today, that You just receive Him by faith today. Say, Father, I thank You that Jesus Christ died for my sin and He was raised again for my justification. And that when I receive that sacrifice by faith, say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. Transform me and change me. And walk with me. And when You come again, take me with You into the presence of God. I am part of Your promise. And You will indeed come and bring me into Your kingdom. And in the meantime, You're going to transform me, change me, cause me to walk with You, bless me, give me peace that I've never known. Teach me Show me how to walk by faith and not by sight. In Jesus' name, baptize me in the Holy Spirit that I may receive every gift. Thank you that you give me the gift of healing, the gift of grace and mercy, that I might pray in other tongues to worship and glorify your name. Father, we worship you and we give you praise. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Danny, are you going to finish or...